ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 bringing the Lord into our life. That's an interesting, you know, little unusual topic. Bringing God or Lord or Ishwara, in Sanskrit we call it Ishwara. In English we call him Lord or God. Bringing God into our life. Really speaking, He is very much in our life. Our life cannot be without God or Ishwara or Lord. So bringing Ishwara into our life is recognizing how He is very much present and pervades every moment of our life. That we are what we are because of Him, and we will be what we want to become also because of Him. And ultimately, we will be Him. The ultimate vision that the Vedas provide us is that Ishvara is everything, God is everything. So let us take a look at how Vedas present before us the vision of Lord or Ishvara or God. First of all, we are told that He is a creator, sustainer, dissolver. Sometimes people explain the word God as generator, ordainer, destroyer, you know, they take the first letter, three letters, G stands for generator, means creator, O stands for ordainer or preserver, D stands for destroyer. I mean, that is just a coincidence, but the scriptures present Ishvara as the creator, sustainer, dissolver. So first thing to recognize that is that Ishvara is the creator of this universe. Then this universe is a creation, an intelligent creation, not a product of the choice, you know, on the part of this organism. Not natural selection, etc., but it is, in fact, we say that it is an intelligent creation. It is according to an intelligent scheme. Meaning that there is intelligence behind this universe, and in fact, this universe is the manifestation of intelligence. So, that's the reason why we find that there is an order in the universe. What is meant by order is that everything in the universe seems to follow as though a certain law, and all the components or elements comprising the universe all function in harmony in accordance with the law, that nothing seems to have the freedom to behave as they want. The son is appointed to do certain duty, very faithfully he does. So does the moon, so does the earth, water, fire, all these powerful elements of nature, all of them perform their duty. They play their role as though as they are ordained, as they are programmed, as they are ordered. So there is an ordainer according to whose rules the universe functions. And that is why science is possible. Science is possible because we can predict the effect of what we do. The reaction is equal and opposite to action. And there are laws of science. All of this shows that there is a fundamental law. And the beauty of the universe is, the whole universe seems to function on the principle of cooperation, not competition. Sun does not compete with moon. Sun, even though very powerful, moon is insignificant in presence of sun in terms of the brilliance and power. When the time comes, sun willingly gives up its position and lets the moon shine. Otherwise, the sun insisted upon shining all the time, nobody will even notice the moon, isn't it? Moon also is like that. When its time comes, he also goes away, allow the stars to shine. Stars also go away when the time comes, allows lightning to shine. Even lightning also goes away when the time comes, allows the lamp to shine. This everything in the universe has a role to play, and all of universe functions in harmony. There can be harmony only when there is cooperation. There cannot be harmony when there is competition. So this is how the universe is. We find also that in the creation, care is taken for every creature. From the time that a creature is born to the time the creature dies, whatever is required at every stage of life is provided for the creature. Even as before we were born, the preparation for food and air, whatever we needed to survive, sustain, all was provided and continues to be provided throughout our life. Somebody is a very caring creator, not just a creator, very caring creator. So Lord Krishna says, Pitahamasya jagataha mata dhata pitamaha. I am the father of this universe, I am the mother of the universe, I am the grandfather of the universe. What it means is just as father and mother or grandfather, how they would take care of their progeny, how they would provide for them, care for them, nurture them, nourish them, and provide for their well-being. So the universe is a scheme which is meant for the well-being of all the creatures, and particularly of the human being. That universe is a system which is meant for our well-being. Meaning that Ishvara or God is our well-wisher. Very important. So Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Surudam Sarvabhudanam, I'm the Surud or well-wisher of all the beings. See, in Sanskrit there are two words. One is Suhrut, other is Mitra. Mitra means a friend. Suhrut means, there is an echo here. But that's how it must be. Okay, I think that, good, thank you. So not only is Bhagavan or Lord our friend, He is Suhrut. You know Suhrut? Sometimes we experience that. Some people come forward to help us without even our asking them. In India, on railway platform, sometimes we don't get a porter. We struggle with our luggage. We don't know how to lift it and how to, take it. And some army jawan comes along and just picks up two big bags and just goes on, puts it in our rickshaw, and then goes away. Without our asking, he comes, does not even wait for any appreciation or anything. That's called Suhrut. A friend is the one who helps me in return for help. A Suhrut is the one who helps me without the expectation of return favor. So Ishvara is Suhrut, always helping me so silently that we do not even know how every moment we are enjoying His grace. Our Swami used to say that our heart throbs, love, dub, love, stops. Again starts, dub, stops, love. So, love, stop, dub, stop. Suppose after love and stop, there is no dub. What will happen? Gone. The fact that the heart keeps on throbbing, it stops. See, heart takes rest. It starts again. That itself is a grace that there is someone who makes sure that the heart continues to pump. The breath that goes out, it does not come back. We are gone. Breath goes out and comes back. In fact, there is an Upanishad called Kathopanishad, which describe how God is sitting right in our heart and constantly serving us. Urdhvam pranam unnayati apanam pratyagasyati. He pulls in the incoming breath, pushes out the outgoing breath. You don't think it's just happening automatically? There is someone who deliberately does that. Meaning that without even our knowledge, He keeps on working for us every moment. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, I'm the very digestive fire in the stomach of all the living beings, and I digest all the food. We keep on dumping things. Rasamalai, thank you. What else was there? This baklava. Okay. Samosa, all right. Without any consideration of whether I can handle. But thank God, there is a digestive fire. He digests all kinds of food. See, we take these things for granted. What is the big deal? It's a big deal. That we can walk, we can talk. Our scriptures describe that there is a presiding deity of every function. I'm speaking right now. That speaking becomes possible when I enjoy the grace of the presiding deity of organ of speech. So fire is said to be the presiding deity of organ of speech, and when I have the grace of fire, I can speak. Grace is not there, sound can't be produced. This is the speaking, hearing, seeing, walking, talking, eating, drinking, thinking, all these functions are possible when we enjoy the grace of Ishvara in the form of those deities. Think of this. He's constantly serving us, remaining within and remaining without. The Vedas explain as to how this whole universe is manifestation of Ishvara. Meaning Ishvara or Bhagavan himself has become this universe. As sun, he provides us light and energy. As moon, he provides a taste and nourishment to all the plants and vegetables. As earth, he sustains everybody and provides all the food and the crops. Every element constantly serves us. There also sustains our life. So does fire, so does water. We cannot live without any of those elements. Remember that all of those are manifestation of Ishvara. In that form, Ishvara or Bhagavan constantly serves us. Thus, when we understand what Bhagavan is, what God is, then we realize how He pervades our life totally, and how every moment we are the recipients of His grace. How we are the beneficiaries of what grace He provides to us. This understanding itself will create in us a sense of gratitude. Follow? You know what is gratitude? Gratitude is that feeling that arises in us when we discover that somebody is doing something for me. In fact, when somebody brings simply a glass of water, I say, thank you. That thank you is an expression of gratitude. Thank you for doing that for me. In India, we are not so much accustomed to saying thank you. They did so many things for me. No. Microphone, table. I didn't know thank you. But at least in my mind, I should have been. Because they do it. I should not take it for granted. Thus, when we recognize the favor that is done to us constantly, the grace that is showered upon us constantly, there will certainly arise a sense of gratitude. So, recognition of Ishvara in our life brings about gratitude. You know what gratitude does? When I experience gratitude, there's always in me a desire to return the favor. Let's go gratitude. And I realize that, hey, without even my asking, you're doing all these things for me, then I always want to wish that I can also return the favor. Like that mouse. The stories are well known. Lion and mouse, isn't it? Once the lion is sleeping and the mouse is, jumping on his body, and then the lion caught him. Mouse says, please let me go. Okay, letting you go. Once it happened, so the lion was caught in a net. So then, the mouse happened to be there. He came along, cut that net, that's how the lion was freed. Then the mouse remembered, the lion actually favored me. He would want to return that favor. So this is the act of gratitude. That's what the Vedas prescribe. You must have heard the word duty. The Vedic culture is unique in prescribing the spirit of duty. This word duty you don't hear anywhere. I'm duty bound to my parents. I'm duty bound to my teachers. Duty. This idea of duty comes from the sense of gratitude. And I realize what all my parents have done to me. I want to return their favor. There are similarly when I recognize what all nature is doing for me, what all gods are doing for me. You know, our Swamiji Advaita was, you know, I mean, was very generous and kind in praising this Swami. About whatever, you know, so when can I talk on Bhagavad Gita? When Bhagavad Gita is there in the first place, is it not so? When can we talk about commentary on Gita? When it is there in the first place? And sub-commentary, when they are there. I have not written anything, I have not created, I am simply the beneficiary of what all the store of knowledge available, is not so? So what a storehouse of knowledge is given to us? By those rishis and scientists and teachers and thinkers who totally dedicated their life for the humanity and in pursuit of knowledge they dedicated their life, and thus we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't start from square one. Our Swami used to say, we are standing on the shoulders of the giants. So we can see far away because already they have lifted us. Meaning that we are enjoying a storehouse of knowledge. We are enjoying the grace of all the devatas because of which I am able, whom I will function. We are enjoying the grace and care and, you know, for nurturing, nourishing our parents. In fact, I read some time ago, Martin Luther King, young man, who was appointed as a pastor or some of a church, and next day was Sunday. His first sermon he was going to give. And he was thinking, what should I talk about? So that churning went on in his mind and went on, and he just could not arrive at any kind of a topic that he can talk about. So stressed out. Now let me have a cup of coffee. So he reached out to his refrigerator to open, get some milk. And he looked in the refrigerator, right away he found the topic. The refrigerator contains milk, vegetables, fruits, these that, where do they come from? When you trace where they all come from, once upon a time, I was like this, we had a talk, and before that, they were serving some tea and coffee and what they call social hour, you know. So, somebody brought a cup of tea for me. I say, where did you get the tea from? Swami, from that kettle. Oh, kettle produces tea? No, Swamiji. It came from the kitchen. Oh, you mean kitchen, your machine for making tea? He says, no, Swami, we make tea. How do you make tea? Oh, in a big pot, there's water, and then milk, and tea, and sugar, and spices. You boil them. That's what they do in Gujarat. You boil everything. And spices. By the time thing is ready, you don't know what you're drinking, but that's, you know. Oh, I see. So for making tea, you require water, and milk, and tea leaves, and sugar, and a stove for boiling all this. Yes, Swami, you require that. Oh, where did the water come from? From the tap, Swami. Oh, you mean the tap produces water? No. It comes from a pumping house. You mean pump produces water? No. It comes from a tank. A tank generates water? No. It comes from a well. Is it an accident that is water underneath? It's not an accident, it's a design, is it not so? How about milk? Or from the refrigerator? From the store? From the dairy? From cows? The cows produce machine milk? No, Swamiji, we have to feed them, you know, grass and oh, where do you get grass from? It has to grow. For that we require again seeds, we require a farm, we require seeds, we require water, we require sunlight, we require wind, air. How? So many things you require for growing grass. How about tea leaves? How about water? How about milk? How about that gasoline gas, you know, upon the stove? Oh, it comes from cylinders, Swami. In India we have gas cylinders. Where do they come from? From the distributor. Come from? Ultimately from the refinery. They come from? Swami, there is a refinery. Petroleum is refined. Where does petroleum come from? From petroleum wells. How did it go there? Somebody placed it there. Is there an accident that petroleum is there at that, you know, in the earth? You know how does petroleum come there? You know? You know how does petroleum happen to be there? How? Huh? What is it? Decay of, of trees and plants must have taken millions of years. Meaning that somebody must have thought millions of years ago that the Swami is going to require a cup of tea at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Any plant from petroleum, from water, from grass, and for that he has sun and moon, whole universe. The whole universe is required for one cup of tea. Just to get together. This is not an accident. This is an intelligent scheme. Not only the Creator is intelligent, He is benevolent. So Ishvara or God is what? He is benevolent. And sometimes the question is asked, so why does He create this world? Why is the world created? For us? For what? So that we can be happy, so that we can grow, so we can be liberated, we can be free. Meaning that the world has been created for our benefit. But Swami, what does He get out of it? Normally, when we do something, there is always a calculation, what will I get out of it? We don't do anything without some kind of personal calculation, some personal reward, isn't it? So is this universe created and all favors showered upon me by Ishvara or by God with some personal agenda there? What is the agenda? No agenda at all. You know what is this Bhagavan or Ishvara? He is limitless, He is complete, He is whole. You know what is limitless or complete or whole? All inclusive, where there is no insufficiency, no lack, no want. Ishvara has no lack, no want, no need. There is no need, why should you do these things? If Bhagavan or Ishvara has no need, why should He do this? So we cannot imagine that something can be done without the need also. Can we imagine? Sometimes we do things without need also. Sometimes we become so happy. Normally, you know, as growing up children, I would not even spare one marble for my younger brother. For ask, give me that. It's mine. But sometimes, then what happened? I scored first rank in my sixth grade and I was so happy. I say to my, hey, take all this, take all the marbles. Meaning that when you get happy, then also you do things. It is not that you always do things for happiness, you do things out of happiness also. It is possible to do things out of happiness. Is it not possible? Lot of creation is out of happiness. Lot of music and sculpture and art and things are created. Not for any need, it is an expression of their own inner happiness. Meaning that this universe is the expression of Ishvara's fullness, His ananda, His love. So Upanishad says, ananda dheva khalvimani bhuta. Hey, the whole universe is born of ananda, fullness. That means that Ishvara is full and complete. He has no need. Means there is no expectation. He doesn't do anything with an expectation in mind. If there is an expectation in mind, there are likely to be problems. If I have an expectation in mind while I am talking to you, likely problems. Whenever I do something with an expectation, then whoever I think will fulfill my expectation, for that person I have a partiality. And whoever I think that will obstacle to fulfill my expectation out of resentment. Is it not so? Whenever we have desire or need or expectation, then those whom we perceive as helpful in fulfilling our expectation, for them we are going to have partiality. And those who are competitors, or those being obstacles in fulfilling, we are going to have resentment. Is it not so? So usually we as individuals limited, we have either partiality or resentment. In Vedanta it is called raga and dvesha. Attachment and aversion. So when I function with attachment, there is going to be partiality for somebody and cruelty to somebody else. Even in simple acts, this girl is recently married, has come to her in-laws, her husband is there, but even in India, in those days, they did not even know each other. There is no scope for meeting each other or knowing each other. So when a girl comes to a home, she doesn't know this husband. It takes quite some time to develop some kind of bond, if it ever develops. So sometimes her brother visits her to see how the sister is doing. Her brother, of course, she loves. So now, she has cooked food and she is feeding now both the husband and brother, both of them are sitting there and she's serving them. So in India, they always love that ghee. When you make that lapsi, halwa, they pour ghee, or rice also. So when she pours ghee, when his husband, a few drops come. His brother, the partial will automatically happen when there is an attachment and a cruelty will happen where there is resentment. If Ishvara also is like that, then we are in trouble. But no, no partiality, no cruelty. He is equal to all the beings. There is room for everybody in his creation. Even demons have room in the creation. Ravana also can be there, Hiranyakashipu also can be there, Kamsa also can, everybody can be there. If you and I were Ishvara, I would never create those fellows. Or I would not allow them to grow. But in Ishvara, everybody is okay. Impartial. Equally showering grace, even though Ravana would hate him, but then Ravana can talk only because of his grace, did he exist? So he is always benevolent. And you understand Ishvara in this way. It's a good idea to think of our life and see how every moment is benevolence, His grace, His favor, how every moment we are the beneficiaries of that. And there must be a sense of gratitude. So what do we do when we have gratitude? We will return the favor. So how do we bring Ishvara in our life? By returning the favor. So Lord Krishna shows in the universe how all the elements of universe are functioning, because they are all manifested in Ishvara. See, there is no need, therefore all it does is selflessly. Selfishness is there when there is a personal need. There is no need, then what should we do without any selfish purpose? Selflessly. So since the universe is a manifestation of Ishvara, we find that the whole nature functions selflessly. Equally for all. If you go to Rishikesh, go to the Ganges, you find many people worshipping the Ganges, some people defiling the Ganges or throwing all kinds of stuff. But Ganges is equally kind to all of them. Doesn't say that I will not quench the thirst of this fellow because he throws mud in me and I will be more partial to this fellow because he worships me. No. The sun, you know, Surya Namaskara, now all of you must know on the yoga, Surya Namaskara. Surya is very fond of Namaskara. See, different devatas have different fondness. Abhishekho, Abhishekha Priya Shivaha. Alankara Priya Vishnu. See, in this temple itself, Vishnu, you see all kinds of alankaras. You see that? Shivalinga, there will be nothing there. On Shivalinga, nothing. All alankaras, all garments and ornaments, because Vishnu is Priya, Alankara Priya. What is Shiva like? Abhisheka Priya Shiva. So they perform Abhisheka. For hours together, not for Vishnu. For little Lala, you know, just for a few minutes. For Shiva, Abhisheka Priya. Namaskara Priya, Priya Surya. The Bhanu, Namaskara Priya, Surya is fond of Namaskara. So it is traditional to do Surya Namaskara. In worship of Surya. There are many people who do that. But Surya doesn't say that this fellow is every day worshiping me, so I will send more light to his house. And this fellow does not do it, so I will deprive him. No way. Impartial. See, that's how the whole universe functions. No partiality, no cruelty. Equality to all. Where the recipient is good, bad or indifferent. That's called selflessness. Meaning that Ishvara, as manifest in the universe, is giving us a lesson as to how we should conduct ourselves. How do we bring Ishvara in our life? By conducting ourselves the way He conducts. He conducts Himself as selflessly. Benevolence, generosity, equal fairness. That is, fairness in the universe. No injustice. Although we may feel somebody's injustice in manner, why me? Why should it happen to me? But that is because we don't know all the laws. But whatever happens has a reason. There is fairness in the universe. Justice in the universe. So when we imbibe those values in our life, like fairness, like benevolence, like selflessness, that is how we bring Ishvara in our life. Why should we do that? Because then, one day, we can become like Him. Like Him means not creator itself, but like Him means what? Like full and complete. Ishvara is happiness in nature, fullness in nature. By bringing Ishvara into our life, by trying to become like Him, by imbibing the values that He demonstrates, we can slowly and slowly become like Him. We are not like Him right now. Radhana Vekha are opposite to him. We are self-centered people. We have lots of attached raga and dvesha. We are partial to some, cruel to others. Anger here, resentment there, partiality here, this is how we are. This is how we are estranged from Ishvara. So we are not happy. The reason why we are not happy is because we are estranged from Ishvara. Closer we come, more we identify, more we become like him, happier we will become. And understand that the only thing that we want in our life is happiness. Each one of us wants just one thing, happiness. And happiness can come not from anything outside of ourselves, happiness to come from within ourselves. And how can it come? More we become like Ishvara, more is manifestation of happiness from ourselves. Therefore, the only way to become happy in our life, you want to become wealthy, you should have wealth. You want to be powerful, you should have power. You become strong, you must have strength. Comfortable, you must have comfort. Powerful, you should have power. But why should I have to become happy, tell me? For being powerful, you require power. For being wealthy, you require wealth. For being well-known, you require fame. For being famous, you require fame. For being healthy, tell me, what do you require? I require money, Swamiji. That is good. Swamiji, just give me ice cream, I'll be happy. Give me candies. Give me money. Give me this, that and so on. You do that, please. God bless you and have whatever you want. But before you struggle too hard for those things, you go privately and ask people who have money. Ask them how happy they feel. I'm not suggesting that people who have money are not happy. All I'm saying is that those things have no capacity to give you happiness. It's nobody's fault. That money, any kind of worldly achievement can give us, of course, empowerment and comfort, and we should have it. For happiness, none of those things can give us happiness. What can give us happiness? The extent to which we become like Ishvara, to that extent we can be happy. You become totally like Ishvara, you are totally happy. That is why you have to bring Ishvara into our life for very practical purposes. We are all practical people. Sometimes they say, Swamiji, this is not practical. What you are talking, that is only practical. The only thing that is practical is Vedanta. Bhagavad Gita is the only practical thing. Because that's the one that teaches how to be happy. In other workshop you find how to be wealthy, they will teach you, do this. How to win elections, how to win friends, this all you need, go there. But how to be happy, nobody can teach you. You be that and like, if they teach you, then I would, take it with a grain of salt. Only Vedanta can teach you how to be happy. And that is by imbibing those values which are the nature of Ishvara. And so, since he is selfless, we should also try to become as selfless as we can. Our Swami used to say, therefore become what? Givers rather than grabbers. The world teaches how to become grabber, how to grab more and more and more. He is thought that more I grab, more the merrier. Now, you can grab if you want, but grabbing doesn't make me happy, it is giving that makes me happy. You please look at this. If you perform one small act of kindness, one small act of kindness, You're walking along the street, you find an old person who has some need, wants to cross the street. Recently somebody showed a little video on that WhatsApp. So here are these couple of people. This to ride in the middle of the street and then halted all the traffic. Why? Because very old lady wanted to cross the street and she was so slow, there's no way they can even make it in the traffic. These fellows to ride in the traffic and allowed her, made it possible for her to. Simple things. Small acts of kindness. For which we don't have to go anywhere. Wherever you are, there's always scope for a small act of kindness. Just give them the room in front of you. In line, let them. Hey, why don't you enter? Go back. Let them enter. We will fight. In India, they fight with rickshawala. He goes to a movie where he spends 1,000 rupees. Then goes to a restaurant where he spends 1,000 rupees. Because things are very expensive now. Then he drives a rickshaw with his family. Rickshawala, what's the fare? 25 rupees? No. It should be 17 rupees. He'll fight. He just spent 2,000 rupees there, but giving this fellow, if I were him, he said, 25, take 30. Suppose. You know, that will make the day for the rickshawala. Swami, thank you that you are my customer, first customer during the day. What does it take to be kind? Very little. You don't have millionaires to be kind. We can be kind as we are. And kindness does not mean giving money. Giving yourself, giving your kindness. Extend a little hand. If we have an attitude, then we will discover ways of being kind. And it is you will find, and everybody has experience, that when I perform one small act of kindness, right away I feel happy within myself. When you help somebody, you feel so happy within yourself, don't you? You know why? Because you have done what Ishvara does. Because there is basically this fundamental law that I should not do unto others what I do not want them to do to me, and I should do to others what I want them to do to me. See, if I were in place of that old lady who was struggling to cross the street, what would I want? Somebody to help me. So then I should reach out to others as I want them to reach out to me. The simple thing. When I do that, I know that I have done something right. So I am happy. So we are happy whenever I do something right. Thus, study Ishvara more and more. And you can see self. Lord Krishna calls it yajna. In Bhagavad Gita, the word that is used is yajna. What is yajna? The self-offering. A selfless act. An act performed without an expectation of personal reward. And do one thing, you know. So does it mean I should give up my job? Don't give up anything. In your day-to-day life, make time for one act of smallness. We tell children, write a journal. What act of smallness, kindness you performed today? And they encourage. Next day, try to perform two acts of kindness. Swami, today I brought a glass of water for my father. One act of kindness. Today I helped my mom when she was sweeping the floor. Mom never expected. She was so happy. And I was so happy. Small acts of kindness. The world is very much in need of this little thing. You don't have to go out far away. Wherever you are, there is always a little need. Become kind persons. Become sensitive persons. Become compassionate persons. Become giving persons. That's all we need to do to be happy. A giver is happy, not a grabber. A kind person is happy, not a cruel. A cruel person cannot be happy. You yourself see, sometimes we become cruel also. Sometimes we get angry. Do you think at that time we are happy? No. When you are kind, you feel happy. See, when you take my picture, when he takes a... very often they take a picture without informing me, but, Swami, a picture, I'll always pose. A smiling picture. I don't pose like that, do I? No. I don't pose like a cruel person or an angry person, as a kind. Why? That shows how I like to see myself, is it not so? And so we don't like to see ourselves angry. We are not happy that we are angry. We regret later on. Out of impulse we become angry, we become cruel, we become jealous. Later on we don't like ourselves. I don't like that. I like myself when I'm kind, compassionate, giving, helping. When I like myself, I'm happy. When I dislike myself, I'm unhappy. Secret of happiness. Bring Ishvara into our life. Ishvara is right in front of us, demonstrating how the whole universe functions. Imbibe as much as we can. You come closer to Him. We are very close to Him. But all these nonsense has created a wrong distance. The likes and dislikes and attachment, aversion, these that has created as though distance. As you get rid of them, the distance becomes less and less. You come closer to Ishvara. Vedanta says that you can become one with Him. You can become Him. Whenever that happens, that is okay. But we can initiate the process someday. Someday it will happen. When will it happen, Swamiji? I don't know. But at least we can initiate the process. You want water from the ground, you start digging the well. When will it come? You keep digging. How long? As long as water comes. Well, that fellow got water right away because he was in a soil where water was at 15 feet depth. You are where the water is 50 feet. 500, who knows where it is. Keep doing it. It's there. It will come. So this is how, in a very simple way, we can bring Ishvara or Bhagavan or Lord or God in our life. More we understand, easier it becomes to bring in our life. Tuning away with Ishvara. That's how we bring in our life. Okay, that's how I will conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyade पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरि ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम बिफोर आई स्विच ऑफ माय रिकॉर्डर लेट मी आस्क यू फॉर एनी क्वेश्चंस बिफोर वी कंक्लूड दिस सेशन. Does anybody have any question? Because the president has been very kind enough, says, oh, you can go and stretch beyond 9 o'clock, no problems, okay. So we take the liberty to go on up to 9 o'clock because, if you finish at 9, the temple will close at 9:15, but he says, okay. So we take advantage. That's an act of kindness. Yes, sir. That is true. Says, you just said that God is fair and just and there is fairness and justice in the world. But a lot of injustice in the world. That is true. That we do find a lot of injustice in the world. But that is when we look at the events from a very narrow perspective of our lifespan. Understand that the universe is beginningless and it is infinite. to judge any event is necessary to take into account what was in the past and what will be in the future. Just look at the present with a very narrow standpoint, looks like it is injustice. You don't know what it was in the past. There is what we call law of karma, which is law of justice. Just as the Newton's law said that reaction is equal and opposite to action, so also it says that the result of an action is always compatible to action. Meaning there is always a reason for whatever happens. And what happens to us, usually that we are in some way responsible for that. We don't know in what way. So I haven't done anything in this life to deserve this, we don't know. There is not only this life, there are past lives also, so we do not know whether what we are experiencing now is the result of what we have done in this life or what we have done in the past. Or what we are experiencing now, what effect it will have in the future also we don't know. Here is this man, this is a story of a Greek man who had a young son. Once this young man went with his friends to forest. From there they caught one horse. A wild horse was brought home. So neighbors came to this man's father and said, congratulated, you are very lucky. You got a horse free. He says, well, whatever God does is okay. As it happened, this boy, young man, was riding the horse when forest strike, and the horse was untrained. It was a wild horse. He just threw away this fellow and then ran away. And this young man had fractures all over his body. Brought home, and 6 months of bed. Same fellows came and consoled this man. We are very sorry that the son is injured like this. Well, why don't know what Ishvara has in store? As it happened, that country declared war with a neighboring country. And all able-bodied young people were drafted into army. Since this fellow is ill, he was saved. Same fellows came and again congratulated. He says, we do not know what God has in his mind. So we don't know. So it's difficult to judge and make a very broad judgment that there is injustice by observing some phenomena, because we know so little as to what goes behind those phenomena. But there is one thing here, that human being is a unique creation of God. In that, we have been given a brain. Every creature has a brain. But if you see animals, they all grow horizontally. Their head, the stomach, sense organs, all in one line. That means that the head is essentially utilized in filling stomach and sense gratification. That's all, that much brain they have. We grow vertically, not horizontally. We also have a stomach and sense organs. And our brain also does that. But it does much more. It is placed in this Uttamanga, placed in the highest place. And this brain of the mind, has very special abilities. Intellect is given to us, with which we can learn, we can grow, we can choose. You are giving a free will. This Venus is programmed. We are also largely programmed, but still we have a free will to make choices. And that is called freedom, which can be abused. So human being is likely to abuse the free will. So all the suffering that you see everywhere in the world is all creation of human being. This statement which says there is enough for the need of man, but not for the greed of man. So wherever you find injustice, starvation, poverty, it is the result of greed of man. Because there are those who have 1,000,000 times more than what they need. They waste 10 times more than what they eat. The others who are totally deprived. Why? Because human being has created this arbitrary division, United States, Russia, China. These divisions were not there in Ishvara's creation. Who has created that? Human being. And now this is my land. So petroleum is mine. This is mine. That's not yours. Suppose, as Ishvara has intended, what is created for all creatures, not only for a human being. Upanishad says that. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says that Ishvara has created different kinds of food, 7 kinds of food, and this food is meant for all creatures. And therefore the whole world is watching. Whenever we take a morsel of food and put it in our mouth, the whole world is watching. He is taking away our food. If you take more than what you need, you are depriving many who are needing. If you have clothes more than what you need, these days when people build home and take the Swami for a tour of the home, and the Swami, here's a closet, 1,500 pairs of clothes, 1,600 pairs of shoes, you know, it's nice. But there are people who have nothing. Suppose all of this, it's not going to happen, but what is this distributed to all the human beings? Where there is no starvation, no hunger, no poverty. It's not going to happen. But what I'm saying is that in Ishvara's creation, there's provision for all. And other than human being, there's no injustice. We derive all conclusions only from watching human beings, but there are millions and millions of species and creatures, and they all live in harmony with nature. Because they are all well programmed, and we are a problem, and we create problem for others and for ourselves. So all suffering, gone. Oh, you programmed it 9 o'clock? Oh, it's battery. It's called programming, tech, high tech.
Sorry.
Technology.
He said, it's God, not me.
It is God, not you, but God in your form. Okay. And therefore, whatever suffering there is in the universe is all creation of the abuse of the human free will. Others don't have free will, they don't abuse. They don't create ecological imbalance, they don't create any ozone, you know, whatever, and all this, what do you call them, global warming and stuff like that. Only human being can do that. So, but it will all work out. But nature is slow, it's not as fast as we want. So in course of time, everything will work out. It may take 500 years to work out. We know in our own lifetime things are working out. That we abused this nature 150 years ago, 60, and it's showing us. What is all the global warming is a result of what all we did since last 60, 70 years. So there's overall justice. It takes time. There was a film song. There hai andher, Bhagavan ke ghar, there hai andher nahi hai. Meaning that, there means what? It takes time for things to work out. Not the injustice there. And so, in the core, there is goodness. In the core, there is injustice. See, Vedanta talks about these words, you may have heard, satyam and mithya, real and unreal. In the core, there is justice, fairness, goodness, that is real. That's inherent. All the evil that you see is all incidental. Meaning you and I and everybody is inherently good people. kindness is of a nature, goodness is of a nature. Then the cruelty also is there, that is only incidental. There are the intruders. Why? Because you abuse the free will. So they have entered us because of abuse of free will. So by proper use of free will as we described, we can get rid of them and create peace for ourselves inside, and hopefully peace for others also. Yeah. So how do we respond to the act of injustice? Injustice can be of two kinds. Either injustice is done to me, or I see injustice being done to somebody else. How do I react to injustice being done to me? I have to protect myself and not allow others to hurt me. That is one of our duties, to protect ourselves. Then we will not hurt others, but then we will not allow others to hurt us also. Secondly, what do you do when you see injustice being done elsewhere? Ideally, we should respond in terms of whatever we can do to correct the situation, which will require wisdom, will require a lot of things. But ideally, our response should be not one of indifference, what do I care, it's happening, is his karma. But we should know that if there is interconnection of the whole universe, nobody is isolated. Everybody is interconnected with everybody else. Meaning that what I do has an influence on the whole universe, and what the universe does has an influence on me. And therefore, even though we may say something happened in Ethiopia and Syria and this, that and whatnot, and they are responsible, but we are also responsible. They say that bad people are responsible for what they do, and good people are responsible for what they don't do. And so, it is true that we should really be aware of our responsibilities and should reach out where we can. That's why this democratic society, the United States, are very alert and very aware for societies as to what. So they will generally, you know, when there is injustice, they'll speak out against that. The West has that culture. They speak out. Meaning that they think that even though it's happened to somebody else, that it's our duty to participate in some way. But do it wisely. This is a general principle I'm saying, you know. But then that one of the duties that we have is to resist injustice. That's what Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna asks Arjuna to do. Bharaswami used to say, active resistance against evil. That's how his formula. Active resistance against evil. But Indians don't have that culture. So Mahatma Gandhi was the one who had that. I'll fight against injustice. It's then. He says, I have nothing against British. My movement is not for removing British. Because I'm afraid that white skin will go and brown skin will come. That may not solve the problem. Remove injustice. So fighting is injustice. Whole freedom movement was the movement against injustice. Even Gandhiji also would not have had that movement had there been justice. If the British ruled India with in just way, he would have nothing against them. In reacting to injustice, we have to be cruel, harsh. Ideally, it is not justified. Ideally, you can be firm but need not be angry. Firmness is one thing, anger or harshness is another thing. So ideally, harshness or anger should be controlled or avoided. Because when we react out of harshness, it's likely that what we do may not be right. It may be reaction, it may be retaliation. So then we'll return violence with violence. And that may not be the right response. All right, I think we've taken enough liberty, so we'll conclude here. Om Shantihi, Shantihi.